Hey there, I'm Oliver Goldstick.
And I'm Marlene King.
And we are the executive producers for Pretty Little Liars. And
welcome to the official podcast.
Jump in, Marlene.
Okay. Well, we thought we'd talk a little bit about this first, these first 10 episodes that are airing this summer and how much fun we've had bringing them to you and bringing these characters to life and sharing their stories with our viewers. It's been really a remarkable journey for us as we have begun this journey of bringing Sarah Shepherd's incredible characters and stories and mysteries and themes to the television screen. We started with our pilot, which really established the four girls and Rosewood and the world they live in, and Allison, and introduced Allison to the world, but also introduced her demise to the world, which then brought us back to Burbank on the Warner Brothers lot, and the mysteries began to unfold with episode 2, which was called The Jenna Thing, where we really learned that what happened to Jenna and what the Jenna thing was all about. And then the next episode, Oliver Goldstick wrote, which really brought us further into the world of the girls in Rosewood.
And it introduced Toby, Jenna's half-brother, who is supposedly responsible for his stepsister's blindness. But as we know, our girls feel very much responsible because they were part of a prank that went awry. And we know that Allison, though, twisted a lot of arms, possibly even broke a few along the way, because this was her idea, and the girls did have a moment of real conscience. But in episode 2, we find out it's too much, too little, too late. And Jenna, of course, we have several suspects in this town of who A might be. Certainly we have the specter of Allison still being around. It's raised in the pilot. We were just talking about that before we turned on the microphone, of seeing Allison, a blonde girl, at least in Allison's house, in the window. And the girls are obviously tormented and haunted for all 10 episodes, and they will be continued to be, by this mysterious phantom who may be Allison, or maybe somebody who just wants these girls to suffer a little for something they may have done in the past. We're hoping, Marlene and I have tried to, in these first 10 episodes, there's more than one or two suspects, because We've seen in the course of these episodes, people even like Detective Wilden from the pilot on, who seems to have it out for these four girls. And these four girls they have their own questions about who they may have even inadvertently. Episode 8 particularly deals with this because of Allison being the queen bee and having a bit of a forked tongue, hurt a lot of people. There are a lot of casualties and bodies in her path. And we've met several of them in the course of these first 10 episodes, one of them being Lucas. We know Mona suffered at the fate. The
and hands our girls were... also are they carry this guilt around of being a part of Allison's posse, being a part of, you know, what she called, you know, the mob, so to speak. But they would we see them in these flashbacks and they chuckle or they'll laugh. And although they recognize that Allison is being mean and cruel, they didn't stand up to her and they didn't have what it takes to stand up to her at the time. So these are some life lessons that they're learning as well, which is you know, hits us on a little bit deeper level.
And they're the mob. we've also been able to explore parents in these first 10 episodes and the relationships all of the girls have with their different parents. And what I think Marlene and I love is that the term Pretty Little Liars doesn't just apply to our teenage girls. There are people lie at all ages, and I think we've been able to explore deception in many forms, whether it be infidelity in the case of Arya's dad, whether it be in the case of Spencer's parents keeping up appearances and the idea that you have to win. We win at all costs. The idea in Hannah's family that Hannah's mother, at least, really suffering financially and unwilling to let her daughter even in on how dire their situation is, which brings us to 110, because we're going to explore some of that too, that Hannah's home life is not nearly as secure or safe, we should say.
And that her mother actually is really willing to not just bend the rules or the laws, but break them to maintain this facade of the perfect life and the perfect being the perfect mom and the perfect daughter. And, you know, they live in the gorgeous White House behind the white picket fence, which really ties into the themes of this show that we constantly remind ourselves, hopefully with every character, with every episode, with each season. We love to explore this idea of what appears to be isn't. It's every person has a secret, whether it's an adult or a child, as we all do in life. And small towns may look so picture perfect and Americana on the outside, but as soon as you open that door and get a sneak peek at what's going on behind these closed doors, it's a really fascinating, dark, and mysterious world to explore.
I think when we talk about the characters a bit, like Arya's relationship with Mr. Fitz, we all felt, as a room of writers, that this was a relationship. It did start before the school year. It is an unfortunate situation because of his position and there's so much at stake for him because he does love teaching.
But they're soulmates. They're meant to be together, these two.
And the impossible romance will continue between them because they know it's meant to be, but there's a piper to pay, as they say, with Mr. Fitz particularly because the secret's a bit out, as we know, from episode 5, which was a lot of fun. It's a great moment in the books as well. And it was a great moment to write and to see on screen when Mr. Fitz reads that email and recognizes that his secret affair is not so secret, and particularly in a high school environment where we know, and in an electronic environment where news like that can spread very quickly. And it doesn't look so rumored either if it can be substantiated, if there's anything that looks suspicious. So we've explored Ezra leaving to try to figure out what he's going to do, because this is his soulmate, but on the other hand, how can he continue this with a girl who's 16 years old? Well, we have explored from the first episode how they can continue keeping this under the radar. And one of the things that's important to us and we felt that was really, it's been interesting to write, is Arya, these girls don't keep that many secrets from each other, but there are times if you do divulge a certain secret, there's just too much, there's too heavy of a price to pay, you know? And in the case of Arya and Mr. Fitz, Arya is a really open, loving character and very much there for her friends, but this is something she's had to keep to herself, which, by the way, is a real sign of maturity in a way too. Even though it feels like what she's doing is so illicit and so wrong, it's also part of growing up, of recognizing that not everything can be shared, which takes some of the romance away and then heightens it in other ways, you know. And Ezra, anything about Ezra you want to say, or the Arya?
I think it's just clear that they're meant to be together, and it's the unfortunate circumstance of, you know, had they met 2 years later, you know, it's all about timing for these two, and had they just met 2 years later, they'd be married already, probably.
I think also the fact that, you know, whether it's conscious or not, what's going on in her life is echoing something that happened with her parents. She's known about her father's infidelity for years. She's had to keep that a secret, which again has been eating her up because she has been close to her mother. And in this season, Marlene and I and the writers were able to explore, it wasn't at her behest, granted, it was A who did this to her, but what does it mean when a relationship at that age, a bond of trust that is so strong is suddenly violated? And Arya's worst nightmare that this would dissolve her parents' marriage comes to fruition by episode 7 and 8. Because the parents, Ella's attitude that doing this, Byron using their child to perpetuate this was even a worse sin.
Yeah, she could have forgiven his lack of judgment and his adulterous, you know, moment, but not, what she couldn't forgive is the fact that he asked their daughter to keep it a secret. But there's a lovely sort of full circle moment coming up in 110 between Ella and Arya, where it's just a lovely moment coming up where they put some closure on that part of their history together.
And also Byron now being a single parent, we've moved into this in the last couple episodes, there's some revelations for him too. And in fact, even a bonding with Hannah's mother, who's been doing this alone for some time. Granted, she was on the other end of being dumped. Of course, I guess Byron is on that end too, but being left. But It's interesting to see that parent as well have to enter a whole new phase. I mean, a whole new stage of parenting and accepting. We like the idea that because they're such young parents, they're young in the books, and we like the idea that people who get together when they're 19 or 20 years old and have very little experience with other people, other partners, dating, etc. What does happen when they hit 37, 38 years old and an adulterous moment like this happens? Can they weather that? Or do they use that as an opportunity to question, well, what else is out there? Did I make a mistake by falling in love at that age and saying, this is who I'm spending the rest of my life with? So it's a great platform for us to explore with those parents. And Arya's point of view, because you've got a girl who's got to believe love conquers all. At that age, you have to believe, you know what? My parents are going to be back together in spite of all this. I don't care what happens. They're going to find their way back to each other because they met when they were 19. They fell in love, and that is true love. So.
And it totally fits in with who Arya is. She's the romantic, the writer. So her world has given her actually all she needs to write about all that drama. And we've had a great fun with Hannah this year. We met her stealing sunglasses at the mall, and in 110, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's all I'm going to say. There's a great twist in the Hannah Ashley dynamic, and I don't want to say more than that because I don't want to ruin it. It's a lot of fun coming up.
We
But
know
it.
she was trained from the best. Now she also has a really interesting relationship. Again, all the girls have relationships with their parents that are somewhat conflicted. And we got to meet in episode 4 Hannah's father and recognize that he's starting a new family, sort of pouring the mixed stir, and all of a sudden she's got a stepsister and a new stepmother. Now we haven't really dealt with it in this season. We plan to deal with it in future season, in the season coming up. But this season was very much about her also learning about her relationship with Sean and all the things that she valued. The reason, you know, she losing the weight and wanting to be the person that Allison would revere. And even in Allison's absence, she has the look that everyone in the school would feel this is a queen bee. But we love the fact that, you know, she's questioning it. It's hollow. It's a hollow experience for
She's
her.
really growing. I think of all the characters in this first cycle of 10 episodes, Hannah has had the most personal growth. Like, she got where she wanted to be. She won the homecoming crown. She's the it girl. But as she says, I think I lost some things that I'm missing on the way up. So she's really, you know, seeing the world without those rose-colored glasses that she had on when she looked at Allison.
She also has an interesting relationship again with we dealt with the Sean of it all and what she thought was expected of her if she was going to be the most popular girl. She couldn't be a virgin. She had a certain reputation to uphold because this was the bar that maybe Allison set at some point. Who knows? We haven't gotten into where this who put this into her brain, but somebody did. And then it's a really interesting journey for her to recognize, wow, this first of all, Sean may not even be the right person for her. It's an interesting relationship they have. It's what looks good on paper and looks good in the school yearbook, but there might be other people out there, and we're going to be exploring that. I mean, she forms an interesting relationship, or friendship rather, with Lucas, who was the object of scorn for Allison and all of them, in fact. He was referred to as Hermie the Hermaphrodite. And,
Now lovingly called Shem by Mona.
yeah. And you know, Hannah recognizes in him what she was even feeling but couldn't express. He's able to articulate things she was feeling only 2, 3 years ago when she was 40 pounds, 50 pounds overweight.
And Hermie ends up, or Lucas, sorry, ends up becoming a motivator for Hannah to start questioning her relationship with Mona as well, because Mona's an extremely, you know, fun and fun-loving but superficial friend.
The character of Emily has been great to explore as well because we've seen her. And really, what Marlene and I have enjoyed is the baby steps. It's incremental of coming to terms with what's going on. She has a lovely she her secret from her friends, which is, you know, completely understandable given the world she lives in a small town. Her relationship with Allison will, you know, which was very complex and very deep, is more and more illustrated in the last couple episodes. I don't know when is this going to
This
be.
airs right before 110, right? So
Yes.
109 will have aired.
Then you know from 109, okay, that she was in love with Allison, and you're gonna realize that this has helped. This we took 9 episodes to get to that revelation for her to even have to say it out loud to her friends because that is part of her journey. moving toward her parents and her family, who are going to be the most difficult. She doesn't anticipate, because of the way Hannah is so accepting, that her friends are going to be, you know, deeply.
And she is, and when she tells her friends, and she does get their support, and realizes that it in no way changes the way they feel about her, which we love about all the PLLs, but that's it's part of what gives her the strength and the courage to make more major steps that she'll be making in the near future.
And we meet her father finally in 110. I mean, all the girls, you've met almost all of the parents except for Emily's dad, who's a military man, and he's home. It's actually hinted at in 108, where she gets the phone call that her dad's coming home. And in 110, you'll meet him. And again, this will force Emily to confront, how much can she keep secret? How much of herself can she?
As a military man, he embraces honor and truth, and he represents that sort of goal that Emily has not been able to attain. She hasn't been able to be truthful with herself, let alone her family. So having him back is going to be an interesting twist for her.
And I think also with Emily, what we really enjoyed writing was the relationship with Toby, that she found a pariah and somebody, the most unlikely person, because we know from the past and the Jenna thing how the PLLs feel about him, what they suspect he's capable of. They thought he was a peeping Tom, they thought he was a perv, they thought, you know, he was something going on with his stepsister.
Emily's mom says it the best. He when people see him, they cross the street.
Yeah. And therefore, the idea that she found some type of bond and friendship with him, because there was some parallel there, something about his experience being an outsider and being marginalized by this town, enabled her actually to be more honest with Maya. And that was a lovely step and journey for her. And although we think he's probably in love with Emily to some degree as well, and part of her feels very close to him. And again, that's the confusion of that age, of figuring out, you know, do I dare be with someone like Toby? And yet I'm not ultimately feeling that way. But yet he's the most, you know, poetic soul I've ever met.
We love Toby.
Toby's been a lot of fun, and there's a lot of great stuff coming up.
And
with
he really is, as we explored the themes of the book To Kill a Mockingbird in Ezra's class this year, and I'm sure most people, anybody who's read the book has kind of figured out that Toby in Rosewood is Boo Radley, and we'll explore that story even further in the next cycle of episodes.
Spencer's been a lot of fun to write. She's a dynamite actress, and the character itself, you know, she was very tied to her sister in these early episodes because of the books, and we sort of wanted to realize her more with her friends and with her parents, you know, regarding this need to win, this need to be the best, and what does that mean, and what drives somebody like that. And I particularly loved the scene with her father in 105, where that's a big moment for a 16-year-old to recognize, you know what, it's not worth it. Again, just the way Hannah won that award in 106, I'm sorry, crown, I should say, in 106, Spencer has that moment in 105. She has the epiphany of, maybe it wasn't worth it. Maybe it isn't always worth it. If someone's going to be, you know, stepped on along the way. This relationship, romance with Diego, who's called Alex, I'm sorry, Diego Boneta, Alex, has been really sweet to write for her. We don't want to just do, you know, a class thing. We wanted to do actually what it meant to go outside your circle. And actually, she's got a bit of a, you know, this is part of her secret too, because she fears her parents will not approve and force her to break up right away. And she's been able to grow as well. There's a great moment in the 107 episode that I love with the bitch board, we called it, where she discovers, you know, on her own, because she's working there with him, helping him out with a hairnet on, which that was just worth the price of admission too, to see Spencer in a hairnet. She finds that board in the country club employee's storage room of all the members who they mock and who have been especially nasty to them, and, you know, sees her picture up there. That's a revelation. Now, the truth is, we know by the end of the episode, we kind of feel like who did that, because there's somebody else who's got their eyes on Alex. And
but what he says to her, Alex, is so true, that, you know, it's just in the way that you people on the other side of the kitchen doors see the help, we have opinions about you, and they're not always right. So that was a great lesson for her, and she really has stepped outside of her comfort zone with him, And we're getting to see a side of Spencer that's more fun loving and free, and he's opened that door for her to be more spontaneous. Oh, this is a great side of Spencer that we don't normally get to see.
Yeah.
So we're really having fun getting to know her and getting to know the other side of her that she hasn't let out yet.
And she and we're also going to be exploring, you know, 108 has already set the stage for this, but she has the most I don't want to say combative is a good word for this, but the most difficult, thorny relationship, prickly relationship with Allison, or past relationship, Allison from the past. And therefore, it raises, as it does in the book, some really interesting questions, because if there really was a conflict between the two, Spencer seems to be the one who would know. First of all, we know from the pilot, she's the one who reappears and says she's gone, she's disappeared. There's already that mystery set in motion in episode 101, the pilot. And by 108, Allison's brother returns and stirs the pot, because they haven't found a killer. They haven't, you know, they've, this investigation seems pretty much stalled. And these girls seem to have a great deal of insight, and we're going to explore that in the next, pretty much the events of that night, in the next cycle. We're excited to explore what happened that night.
And that day. What happened the day and the night that Allison disappeared.
And that will allow us to explore Spencer's role, because she may know a lot more than she's even let on to her friends. And there's a great discovery in 110. She discovers something else about Allison that she did not know. All makes sense now in retrospect, but will help propel us into the next cycle of episodes.
So, which will probably just take us into 110, which is going to be a really fun, juicy thrill ride of an episode. It does answer some questions, bigger questions that we've raised in the first 9 episodes. It asks a few more questions, and I think it delivers in the squeal factor, as we call it, or the scream factor.
Cliffhanger. Yeah, there's some great moments that we're hoping, because we are off the air for like 4 months, and we want everyone guessing.
110 will leave you with a lot to talk about.
Well, 110 raises a lot of really interesting questions, really juicy, tasty stuff. And some things are answered, too. A couple things are answered. But I think you guys are going to see even more sides and more dimensions of these characters in the upcoming episodes, because they're rich, they're wonderful to write, they're rich characters, and we all have the same thing in common. We're all afraid of being found out about something. And it doesn't matter what your age is. Everybody is worried that they're going to be called out and unmasked for something that they're posing, you know, something they're hiding or posing with. So we'll continue to do that.
And yes, and over the summer when we're not on, just remember to never trust a pretty girl with an ugly secret.
Oh, God, no. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. So don't forget to watch Pretty Little Liars next week. It's an explosive episode called Keep Your Friends Close, which will air on Tuesday, August 10th at 8 p.m. on ABC Family.